Oh, you found the peace. Well, great. It was a missing puzzle piece. And, you know, a puzzle is not much fun if a piece is missing. That's right, the 99 and the one lost puzzle sheep. All right, our scripture song, The Light of the World. I believe the words are in your bulletin, if you'd like them. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. All right, open your hymnals to number 300, I believe it is. Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power, not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. When my pilgrimage I close, victor o'er the last of foes, be the sin my guilt unknown, and behold thee on thy throne. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. We have the safest hiding place. Lena loves to play hide and seek. But so far, she never hid any place I didn't find her. But we have a hiding place where nothing bad can find her, even if it's a daddy crocodile chasing you around the house. Right, Lena? Number 461, Be Still My Soul. Thank you.
Be still, my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief for pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on, when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow for God's love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. All safe and blessed we shall meet at last.
So how is it with your soul? Obviously, with mine, not as all peace and stillness. Quite the command from God. Do not be afraid. Be still. Wow. Harder to say, oh, yes, sir, to some commands than others. Anyone with a particular need of soul, or a particular blessing to share for our time of prayer this morning? Betty Lou? I sure hope not. But the testimony of some folks, I don't know if you've heard the story, I can't remember his name now. It's an Adventist minister who was imprisoned in Cuba for many years under just horrible, horrible conditions. And he's now in the United States and pastoring and, you know, leading a normal life. And I heard someone who had spoken with him asked him about his spiritual life. And he said, "It has, you know, I've become a busy person like everyone else now. And it is nothing like it was when I was imprisoned in those horrible conditions. And that was all I had." So there is a balance to the pain and the joys of life, and blessings in both, in maybe unwelcome ways sometimes, but yes, I've read his books, yes. Yes. Yes, and he was sought after as a speaker and things, and he turned a lot of that down because he felt his ministry was actually the praying mostly. Yeah. Anyone else? Amen. 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 Are we still doing some certificates? Okay. Right, so June 11, we're planning on a graduation celebration of sorts, okay? All right. Very good. Any other special requests or praise? Joy, you look like you're about to say something. No? Okay. Yes. All right. A little bit of breathing room. Good. Charles? Okay. Joe's mom. All right. All right. Yeah, well, the music program at the Surprise Valley Elementary School is not this coming Monday, but the following. But all the setup and props and stage and sound equipment and all that is underway already. So going to be a busy week this next week. And then the program is Monday, what time? 6? Monday evening at 6 at the high school gym in Surprise Valley. If you are not doing something else and you want to see what Corrine has been working on, you're welcome to join in the crowd for that. Yes, Charles. All right. Yes, and the carpet layer came this week and put the carpet down in our living room. So, well, it's not totally finished, but we're living in it. It's in, yeah. There's just a light to move, I think, in that room, just a light to hang. So, and pictures, yeah, and curtains, and yeah, okay, well, you get the idea. Yeah. Yeah, we get up and walk out there and go, wow, We're falling all over ourselves. There's so much space. We don't know what to do with it. So that's a very nice thing. Yeah. Ken. What that was all about.
But I did talk to her about Christ and God's desire for her family and church, and she needs to have a church family for support. And she in God's hands. I gave her a ride to the truck stop as far as I could take her and got on the CV to see if anybody else could give her a ride to her family home. And her husband was not expecting her.
Wow. Oh, quite a journey. Well, so should we remember Lisa this morning then?
Yes.
All right. Yes.
Wow.
Access to books, yeah. Yes. Right. Yeah. Yes, Betty Lou. right. Well, let us pray. Elena. Dear Heavenly Father, so much trouble, so much pain we face. But we turn our hearts to you and praise you because you are big enough. And your plans and power are strong enough to overcome every disaster, every addiction, every loss, every pain. And we look forward to that day when we will be forever with you. And all of the unwanted change, all of the pain and tears will be past. We thank you for the blessings that we've heard, and we ask for your care and keeping in each of the requests from folks in our community struggling with addictions and the people struggling to treat and help them, to the friends we've heard about who've requested prayer for their challenges, the illnesses, the loved ones that are in trouble. We think of this lady Lisa on her way home. She hopefully has arrived by now, and what a mess so many of us find our lives in, and yet how much we need relationships and family and stability and peace. And there seems to be so little of it in this world. We ask that you work a change and be powerful in her life. We thank you that the books are finding their way to a place where they can be a blessing. And we ask that we here in our own way will be a blessing in our community, giving the message about you and the hope that we have. In the way we treat people, the way we interact, and by specifically inviting people to come and hear or sharing in our conversations, what a difference you have made in our lives. Thank you for the folks that have been studying with Marie and the group and all the help that has come together for that. And we ask that you continue to work in the hearts there, that more and more people will find in a lasting, ongoing, trusting relationship with you life and life abundant, that they may join together with us to live for you in this world and in this community. Thank you for hearing our prayers and for being present with us as we are gathered and seeking your face. In Jesus' name, amen. My great-grandmother-in-law, several years back, created a bookmark that she's entitled How to Be Like Jesus. And it's a whole bunch of quotes from different books and articles by Ellen White about the character of Jesus, what he's like. And she's getting up in years now to the point where she's afraid that she won't be able to give away all these things that she got nicely laminated and printed up before she dies. And she said, have you got anybody up in your churches that would be interested? And so I said, well, sure, we'll take some. And they can be used as bookmarks or whatever. I'll just pass the stack around. If it's something that you wouldn't mind having a bookmark, take one, pass them on. And they're meant to be shared. So that's what those are. At first, my reaction was, oh, what am I going to do with these things? And then I thought, well, you know what? It's perfectly good, wonderful information. I use it for a bookmark or two around my house. And who knows in whose hands it may fall and what blessing it may be. So, and, you know, as I've shared them with a couple of different people, someone said to me, you know, bookmarks are a great way to share your faith, actually, because they're kind of a non-threatening thing that that you can share. And if it has something good on it, you know, good information on it, and someone is blessed by reading the bookmark when they read their book, then so much the better. So maybe it'll even inspire you to create a bookmark of your own with something that's meaningful to you from the Bible or some inspirational writing that you would share with your friends. And this way, when she asks me what happened to those, if she remembers to, I can say I share them with the folks at church like you asked. And don't worry, they have gone out like the leaves of autumn to tell people about Jesus. And we get to talk about Jesus this morning. Amen? I have been moved as I've continued to work through the book of Luke. And I think I mentioned last time that I was hesitating, well, should I go straight through this section on the Lord's Supper? Or should I stop and save these passages for communion services? And I'm really glad that I've just continued to move through them. I still have the words of Ellen White ringing in my ears that we would do well to spend a thoughtful hour each day contemplating the life of Christ, particularly the closing scenes. And so here we are looking at the closing scenes. And I'm coming to understand that advice better the more time I spend with the closing scenes. I think that if we get what is happening here in these closing scenes, it clarifies a lot of other things. And so I've been blessed. Today will be kind of simple. I hope you'll be blessed as well. Luke 22 and beginning with verse 19. This is the New International Version I'm reading out of. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table." As I was contemplating these words, that phrase that I emphasized with a pause stood out for me. This is my body given for you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. For you. And so I asked myself, what is the significance of this phrase, for you? The first thing that came to mind was, well, it's so you can eat it, right? Here, this is for you. It has to be given so that you can eat it. But then I thought, well, but he could easily have used the expression to you. I'm giving this to you so you can eat it. Why would he use the phrase for you? This is my body which is given for you. Surely it does mean and include the concept of to you, right? He was giving it to them, whatever it means, so they could eat. But what is included additionally in saying for you? And I'll just give you a little bit of time to ponder that. You may discuss it with your friends and neighbors next to you. You may come up with very different things than what I came up with. But as I just listened to that phrase and thought about that, many things came to mind. So take a moment or two and scoot over next to the person near you if that's helpful to you, and ask them, what else does that mean for you? Go ahead. Yeah, good. Go ahead and just talk it over with Terry for a moment. Anyone, as you've pondered that expression for you, additional insights that you have gained? He didn't just say to you, but you're saying for can also mean in place of. All right? This is my body given for you. It's being broken in place of you. Very interesting, because two doesn't carry that same connotation. What I think of when I think of that concept, of course, is Isaiah 53. Yeah. And I'll just read from Isaiah 53. It's an incredible passage. Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of parched ground. He had no stately form or majesty that we should look upon him, nor appearance that we should be attracted to him. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And listen now, but he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us to fall upon him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to slaughter. And like a sheep that is silent before its shearers. So he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to whom the stroke was due? His grave was assigned with the wicked men, yet he was with a rich man in his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And as a result of the anguish, I like the King James, this is the New American Standard that I'm reading, the travail of his soul, it gives that idea of childbirth, right, the pain of childbirth, he will see and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death. This is what Jesus was referring to when he said, this is my blood poured out for you, and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. For you carries that connotation in your place, so that it will not happen to you. What is about to happen to me rightfully should happen to you. But I'm going to take it for you. My body will be broken for you. My blood poured out for you. Anyone else? Any other different nuance that jumped out at you? Yeah. Yeah, what is the difference? What is the difference between saying I'm giving this to you and this is for you? Yeah. There is something about that and I don't know, maybe somebody else can add to that. Ken?
Yeah. $1 from you.
Right.
I hold it, but if you give me $1 and say this is for you, then that $1 is for my use.
All right.
For as I see fit.
So, Ken, I'm giving my notes to you.
I just hold them.
Yeah, and
these are for you. Then it's like.
But they're for Jennifer, right? So I'm giving them to you, but you're supposed to pass them on. They're not for you. See, they're. It's possible to give something to someone and have it not be for them. And so the implication is clearly, this is for you. I want you to have it. I want you to use it. It is for your benefit and use. Have you ever gotten a gift from someone and you opened it up and went, this person has no idea who I am. This would be a great gift for someone else. They gave it to me. But I don't really feel like it's for me. What is it about that gift that makes you say that? It's not personalized. It's not, perhaps we could say it this way, something that I want or something that I need. And so when he says this is for you, he is saying this is something that you need. Now, not all of them got it. Right? Judas, for instance, it was for him, but he looked at the gift and went, that's not for me. I don't need that. I don't want that. He doesn't know me. He doesn't understand me giving me this gift, even though it was for him and he did need it. So part of the message in that for us is we need what Jesus is giving us. It's for our condition. It applies. It's the medicine that can cure us of our terminal life state. It's for us. Yeah. For you. And he wanted them to take what he was giving them and share it with others. But the message that I'm hearing you say in this is, unless they received it for themselves, they could not then go on to take it. So he didn't just give it to the whole world in that sense. He was saying, this is for you, first and foremost. And if you take it in and you eat it, and you are blessed, and you are benefited, then you will have something that is for others that you can take and share with them. But it must be for you first. I think of John 6:48-51, where Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and what happened to them? They died." That bread, while it was for them, it wasn't what they needed, right? It wasn't what they really needed. "This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh." So for us means in our place. For us means it touches our condition. It provides what we actually need to live. It's specific to our situation. There was one other echo which I heard, and maybe would not have occurred to most folks. But I had a little bit of exposure to Daniel 9:26 and some of the difficulty of translating it. Anybody have the King James here with you this morning for Daniel 9:26? No? No one has King James? You do? A couple of you? Okay. Daniel 9:26. I'm going to read the NIV just for a moment. This is the 490-year prophecy here in Daniel 9. And we're jumping in kind of right in the middle of it, the part where it talks about the end of it. It says, "After the 62 sevens, or weeks, the anointed one will be cut off." And the NIV says, "and will have nothing." How does the King James read?
"After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself."
And there is difficulty translating this because it's a phrase that just says he will be cut off, but nothing. Or something like that. I mean, it's difficult to give even a literal rendition of it. However, it's almost like a poetic phrase that is missing a word. And the people reading this originally would have known the allusion, what he was alluding to, in, I think it may be Isaiah or a couple other places, where it gives different parts of this phrase. And the King James rendition of it is a very good, legitimate translation of that concept that is difficult to translate because of how it's phrased. That he was cut off, but it wasn't for himself. That there was nothing in him that he deserved this treatment. So what happened to him was for someone else. And Jesus, I believe, again, is referring to this passage when he says, "This is my body given for you. I'm not going to my death. I'm not going to be cut off here as your Messiah because of anything in me. I'm going to be cut off for you." And I really like just the way that's phrased, "but not for himself." The gift is for us, even the betrayers, whose hands are with his on the table. That's who it's for. Even though there's a sense in which we could say he was doing this for himself, right? In Isaiah, the Isaiah 53 passage, he will see the travail of his soul and be satisfied, right? There was some reward in going through it, and he was looking forward to having people redeemed. Or we think of the passage in Hebrews, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising his shame." There was something in it for him. But what this is saying to me is that these things are secondary. That truly what he is doing here is other-centered love. It is a gift for us. that he's not doing it for the reward that he might get. And that even if he goes through that death and through that resurrection and no one responds, right, and he doesn't see the travail of his soul and is not satisfied in that way because no one responds, it still was done for us. And he would still do it for us because his love was truly other-centered. He wasn't doing it for the reward. He was doing it not for himself. Or if, as we've talked about, if he went into the grave and found there was no way out, he made the decision to be broken for us, not for the reward that he would get on the other side. And likewise, when we give in the Spirit of Christ, there is great reward, is there not? When you love other people. But it doesn't work if you're doing it in order to get something back. There must be that experience of giving for the other person, truly being other-centered for the reward to come back. He was not giving so he would get, but so that we may have. Truly, it was for us and not for himself. He was sharing, not hoarding. He was breaking the perfect diamond so everyone could have a piece. He's harvesting that perfect crop, right? Which, you know, you grow the big pumpkin or whatever it is, and you're like, oh, it's perfect. It's wonderful. Don't touch it. But he's butchered it, right? And cut it up in order to share. He's breaking the alabaster box so that all may receive the anointing. The most valuable thing. So that he could truly share. One more thing. Whose body and blood is it that is for us here? Just give me the obvious answer. Jesus's. And who is Jesus? The Son of God? Well, so is Adam. What distinguishes Jesus? He is God himself, the Creator. So who is for us then? God is for us. As in Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And clearly Paul isn't meaning it in the same sense of this is for you. He's meaning it in the sense of I'm for you rather than against you. But it is the very same phrase. And Paul continues on. He who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Truly, when Jesus says he is given for us, he is saying the evidence that I am on your side, that I am not against you, is that I have poured out everything I am and everything I have for you. I haven't got anything else I could give you. Everything that I am and everything I have is for you, spent for you, is given for you. I'm on your side with all I am and all I have. Truly, he was for us and not against us. God is the one who is broken and poured out for us because we need him. We can't live without him. So we don't have to be broken and poured out in death. And because he is on our side and not against us. So I'm going to just give you a couple of possible application suggestions. And I'd just like you to ponder this. This is voluntary, all right? You came to church here. You don't have to do any of this. But I'd like you to consider pondering, in what ways do I act as though God is against me? in what ways do I act as though God is against? So this is why I was saying, I think if we get the closing scenes of Jesus, it takes care of a lot of other issues. Do you ever find yourself resisting the restrictions that God places on you, resisting His clear leading in your life, as though He was against you, as though He's trying to cause you problems? Do you understand what I'm saying? In what ways in my life do I act as though God is against, as though He didn't actually have my best interest at heart or in mind? I'll just give you a moment to think about that. If it helps to write something like that down, that kind of thing always helps me. I made myself some notes. Yeah, maybe your answer to that question is, boy, it beats me. Well, hallelujah. Wouldn't it be great if we had a very clear picture of God as always being for us and didn't find ourselves chafing against, whoa, God, I think this is really unreasonable. How come you've made me or restricted me or want me to do this thing that I don't want to do? But I suspect that if all of us were given enough time to think and ponder, we could probably all find that sort of cutting edge place between where we're trusting God and where we're still have room for growth, that issue on which we're being challenged right now to see God as truly good and truly for us. What would be an appropriate response to whatever you've identified? Not asking you to tell me what it is, but what would be an appropriate response if you've identified some way in which you are thinking of acting as though God is against you? Ken, were you about to speak?
Ask forgiveness.
Yes.
Repent.
Yes.
And for me to be open and listen and pay attention and obedient next time.
I've been listening to some sermons by Graham Maxwell, recorded back in the 70s, and one of the ways that he has defined faith as he's looked at different scriptures is willingness to listen, willingness to be taught, teachability. That doesn't mean I have it all together, but faith is a willingness to listen. It's believing that God is for me and that what He wants to teach me, I'll be glad I learned. Anyone else, as you were thinking, appropriate responses to identifying something like that? Ken may well have said it all. Anybody here glad that Jesus is for you? Yes. Amen. Anybody here willing to accept His sacrifice in your place? Oh, yes, we do. But we have no other solution. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody here willing to give Jesus full control and surrender to that love? Yes. Amen. Amen. We have a special music that I hope will be a meaningful invitation for you. Our closing song, I'll pop up on the screen here if I can get that going.
I'm alive and well,
your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you. You are my King, Jesus, you are my King, Jesus, you are my King, Jesus, you are my King. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you. Father, may it be true of me as you challenge me in each step of my growth, that as far as I understand, in all I do, I honor you, that you truly are my King, that you, because you are for me, and I know it, have mastery and the decision-making power in my life because I've submitted it to you. Thank you for being worthy of that trust in so many ways. Amen.